before going further in this program, I'd like to talk about Rich Dad's greatest secret. And his secret was a simple one, but it's a secret that most people overlook or fail to realize or do not realize how powerful a secret it is. When I hear somebody say to me, oh, investing is risky, or business is risky, or I don't want to make any mistakes, or what if I lose my money, or what happens if this happens, or what if I fail? The biggest secret of all that my rich dad taught me was that the way the world, the universe, God, our maker, set this whole thing up is that it is impossible to lose. In other words, it is a no-lose universe, especially financially. And so people who actually have this belief or this concept of loss ultimately lose. I talked about a friend of mine who, when he was broke, he was so afraid of being broke, he worked really hard and invested in the market and made a lot of money. But he never lost the emotion or never transformed his emotion of, I'm afraid of losing, the fear of losing. And what happens, I said, his daughter hit somebody in a crosswalk and he ultimately lost. That's why I think emotional intelligence is so vitally important, because if you do not control your emotions, in other words, you're afraid of losing, you will lose. I don't care which way it comes from, but you will lose. So the biggest secret my rich dad taught me was that financially especially, and in business, it was impossible, absolutely impossible to lose if you step back and look at the big picture and look at the way God or our maker set this world up. And even the tax laws in America are set up for you not to lose. The corporate laws are set up for you not to lose. It's almost impossible to lose unless you have the concept or belief of losing. And before going one more step forward, is I firmly believe or firmly support the idea of religious freedom, the right to choose or not choose any kind of religious doctrine. So I'm not going to be philosophizing or touting one type of religion or another type of religion or at all. One of the greatest experiences of my life, I was a pilot in Vietnam. I flew a helicopter gunship, and it was in 1972 and 1973 I was out there, and we were just coming to the realization that we were going to lose the war. We were fighting for a city called Quang Tri. And some of the highest spiritual moments in my life have come facing death. And I remember the nights sitting on the deck of my aircraft carrier. As you watch the sea roll below you, see the moon, the horizon, and I'd sit there quietly listening to the waves lapping on the bow of the ship. And I'd say to myself, I said, Lord, if tomorrow is my last day, so be it. All I ask is I live it to the fullest. I have four other guys, five guys in an aircraft, who count on me to be the very, very best. I have prepared for 3 years for this moment. I have practiced. And if I am not the best, then maybe I should not fly. But if I am the best, if I am as prepared as possible, then let me fly to the best of my ability. And I would make peace with my soul. I said, have I lived my life to the fullest? It was not that I did right or wrong. Have I lived it to the fullest? And once I made peace that it was okay to die tomorrow, at that moment, I could fly with abandon. In other words, I didn't care if I lived or died. Because I found out the pilots that said, oh, I'm afraid of dying, I'm afraid of dying. We take them right off. Because what happens emotionally, their emotions had overcome their sensibilities. Their emotions had overcome their ability to do the good job. And when I talk to people about what it takes to become in the B quadrant, the business owner quadrant, a business owner must be a leader. In other words, the E and the S, oftentimes employee and self-employed, oftentimes only thinks about themselves or their small little group, their family, their kids, and all this. A business owner, look, I have seven different companies. I need to think about multiple families, multiple people. And if I'm not the best leader possible, if I haven't studied, if I haven't practiced, if I'm not on the edge, if I'm not doing my job, I should not be the leader of the B quadrant of a business. And the reason most people are not successful in the B quadrant is they don't take on a leadership role. And so a leader must be prepared. Like I said, I prepared for 3 years for that moment to fly. So what would happen the next morning, 5 o'clock, all the pilots be awakened. We go down to the aircraft carrier ready room. And by 6 o'clock, early dawn light, we'd be cranking up an aircraft, strapping in, and we would fly. And my job at that moment, as one of my gunnery sergeants told me, he says, in battle, there's no second place. Forget about politics. Forget about whether the war was right or wrong. Forget about that you might be a friend someday of that NVA soldier. Forget all of that. He says, at that moment, your job is to make sure that your four men, plus yourself, come back alive. You make sure that what you're doing is an integral part of a bigger operation. Do your job. There's no second place. In battle, you either win or you lose. And I've carried that mentality. Too often in business, I find people who operate with an average person's mentality. Oh, it's okay. You know, when people ask me, what do you say to the average investor? I say, well, don't be average. Because the reason is you're playing against some of the smartest, brightest, most aggressive people in the financial world out there. They're playing to win. That's like the Super Bowl of life is every single day in the financial markets. And if you're out there trying to be average or see if I can get by or get by in what I call a shoe shine and a smile, the world's, especially today, is going to run you over. As I said earlier, in the industrial age, you had guys like Marx and Keynes who tried to control capitalism. Today, with a web, it's uncontrolled capitalism. And it's not to be a winner and a loser to play that way. It's a mindset, that's what I'm talking about. Is you have to be the very, very best. You must prepare. I prepare. I prepare every day. As I said earlier, back in 1974, I started buying Nightingale Conant's tapes, and I listened to them as I drove around in my car constantly. I needed the education. I needed the experience to be a business leader and an investor. I play to win. And if you don't have that kind of drive, the drive where it says there's no second place, then you shouldn't play the game. Let somebody else play it for you. Nothing right or wrong with it. And so that's where I learned to make peace with myself, to trust in a God. Because what I saw in Vietnam, there were times I absolutely swear there were guys who should have been dead. But their spirit was so strong in battle because they didn't care if they won or lost, if they lived or died, that they called on their spirit to such a high extent, it seemed that bullets went straight through them and never damaged them. They just kept going. I saw, there's one of my friends said, I'm alive today because dead men kept fighting. In other words, I saw guys who should have been dead keep fighting, and their spirit carried them on. So when I came back from Vietnam, for some people, it was a horrible experience. For me, it was a spiritual experience because I learned at that point to trust in God, not just merely say prayers and believe in God. So when I see people who get up every morning and they either meditate or they pray and do this, what they fail to do, I think, is call on their spirit and take the test. You see, the thing about flying in combat was every morning I got up and I took the test. I took the test whether or not my spirit was razor sharp or was it a spirit that was weak. And so did the soldier against me. They took that test that day. And what happens to the average person is they do what they've been taught called play it safe. Don't take risks. Don't make mistakes. You know, don't lose money. And they live lives like that. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but if you want to be on the right side of the quadrant, the business owner and investor side of the quadrant, there's a different spiritual basis to it. And that's the way I approach the whole thing. I learned to trust in God, not just pray. I learned to trust, to make peace with myself. And every morning I take the test in the business world and the investment world because I'm playing against some of the smartest, brightest minds out there. They're playing to win, and so should I. It's not that I violate my ethics, my moral, or my integrity. I would never do anything illegal because it's not worth it. It's too easy to get rich. Why try and make money from jail? It's not worth it. But what I'm talking about is a spiritual basis. If your spirit is strong, you will succeed. And so I speak to people today about how strong is your spirit, because it's your spirit that ultimately makes you the entrepreneur. It's the spirit that actually has you build a big business. It's spirit that caused Ray Kroc of McDonald's to take an average hamburger that we can all build a better hamburger than. You know, all of us can cook a better hamburger than McDonald's can. But it was his spirit and his knowledge and his tenacity that built a mega-billion-dollar corporation. So the thing I say to people is this, is most people just believe in God, but they don't trust in God. And the story I have in this is a story a preacher told me years ago. And what he said, there was at Niagara Falls, this guy strung a rope across the falls. And he says, I'm going to ride my bicycle across this rope. He took his tires off, and he's just riding on the rims. And everybody went out there and said, yeah, George, go for it, George. Yeah, we believe in you, George. We believe in you. And everybody said, oh, what if he fails? Said, yeah, but we believe in you. So old George climbs on his bicycle, and he starts pedaling across and pedaling and pedaling, and he's wobbling. He gets to the other side. He turns around. He pedals back. And everybody's cheering. The closer he gets, the louder their cheer. And everybody's up and down. Yes, George, we believed in you. Yes, George. And he says, okay, who wants to go on the handlebars and go across with me? And they all said, well, George, we believe in you, but we don't trust in you. And there's a difference between belief and trust. So out of this crowd, this little girl raised her hand and says, I'll go with him. And the crowd just took, you know, they go, how dare you? Don't go. Don't. That's too risky. That's dangerous. You know, what the heck are you doing? So George says, come here, little girl. And she climbs in the basket on his handlebars. And they're screaming. They're calling him names. They say, how dare you? And he goes, and George just pedals across. And the crowd is screaming at him. They now don't like him. At one moment, they believed in him. Now they're calling him, you know, too risky, risking a child's life. They hate him. They want to hang him when he comes back. And he pedals across, and they seem to turn around, and he gets closer again. They finally realize George is going to make it. And the little girl's on the front handlebars, and he gets to the edge of the handlebars and climbs off, and the crowd starts cheering again. George, you're wonderful. And a reporter goes up to the little girl and says, you know, what caused you to get in the basket when nobody else? She says, I climbed in the basket because this man is my father. I don't just believe in him, I trust in him. And that's the difference between belief and trust. And that's what I find with most people, is they may believe in a greater spirit, but they don't trust in it. And the point I wanted to make, the greatest secret my rich dad taught me, was that there is no losing. Losing is a belief. Every time I made a mistake in my life, instead of blaming, justifying, or getting angry or calling my attorney, if I just took the responsibility and said, what's the lesson here? It's no different than riding a bicycle and falling off. It doesn't mean you're a loser. It means you fell off the bicycle. There's something for you to learn. So every time you make a mistake is a learning experience, something to learn. It doesn't mean, oh, I just made a mistake. It doesn't mean that. They're very important. From mistakes come magic, if you get the lesson. So it's a no-lose world. When I lost my first business, which was a nylon and Velcro wallet company, went to hundreds of millions of dollars. When I lost that company, I lost my investors' money. Instead of blaming my accountants and my attorneys and all that stuff and blaming the market and blaming everybody, I simply went back to my investors and said, I want you to know I did the best I could. I apologize. I lost your money. And they said, oh, because most of all of them were very sophisticated, very wealthy investors. Oh, that's good news. I said, what do you mean it's good news? They said, we need the losses. And would you sell me your losses? In other words, they wanted to, because my company had lost money and it made a lot of money, they were willing to buy parts of my company just for the losses. And you see, the average person, the unsophisticated business owner, the B, or the average investor, is not aware of the sophistication that goes on in the financial markets. This is why your education is so important. To them, me losing money or me making money made no difference. Because if I made money, they were going to make money. And if I lost money, they were going to make money anyway, because the tax laws allow you to take losses. And it's called NOLs, net operating losses. And my education only began, really, when I was a failure. The moment I began to work my way out, my rich dad said, you know, you have a major opportunity here. He said, most multimillionaires lose three companies. You've lost one. You got two more to go. And that was his greatest secret. He says, trust in God, to know that it's a no-lose world, that the laws of most countries, most Western worlds, countries that came from the British East India Company, the English common law, was set up for people to be rich. Not for people to play it safe, to be secure, to look for job security, to do it only on your own. I'm going to do it my way. You know, I can do it better than anybody else. The laws are not set up for them. The laws are set up for the spirit of the entrepreneur, the venturer. That's why Columbus, you know, I mean, he had to go to Queen Isabella, and everybody said, you know, you're going to fail. But Queen Isabella financed his spirit. And his spirit opened up one of the biggest industrial wealth powers in the world. And it was a mistake. He was looking for China. He hit America. Spirit is very important for success, especially in today's changing world. I did a talk once in Hong Kong, which I'm not too proud of, and I was brought in to talk to a bunch of corporate people. And I stood up there, and what I saw was a bunch of people whose bodies were at work, but spiritually and mentally, they had checked out. In other words, they had sold their soul. From my opinion, they had sold their soul for a steady job and a steady paycheck. And I was getting no response talking to them about the spirit of entrepreneurship. And what the people that brought me in wanted them to do was to light a fire under some of these people. So I said the words, the reason it's called corporation is because most people in large corporations are a bunch of corpses. They're dead, but they don't know it yet. They're just there going through the motions. And people think that's a very harsh way of looking at it. Yet, what I'm saying to people, if you're a fat, bloated government or bureaucratic private business, and you're inefficient, and you have people whose bodies are there, but spiritually and mentally they're checked out, they're just collecting the paycheck, your company's going to be leveled anyway by the internet. It's going to just wipe it out. So I say to people, whether you're the head of the company or the lowest member of the company, the janitor, whatever you want to call it, you're still part of a team. And businesses today need to revitalize the entrepreneurial spirit. And that's to ask everybody on the team, the president, the owner, as well as the janitor, to play to win. That's like when my gunship went up, what I learned up on the gunship that was that everybody, even I was a lieutenant, but I was no more important than the private at the back of the gun. That if the private didn't do his job, then I couldn't do my job. And so one of the most valuable lessons I learned from Vietnam is when running or leading a business, everybody's important. Everybody must have the spirit, and the spirit is to win. If you're a janitor and you find one of the managers cheating or not doing something that you think is damaging the company, that manager is not just damaging, you know, one or two people. That manager is putting everybody at risk. When you find somebody cheating or stealing supplies, things like that, you're not just taking a little bit from the company. You're damaging or putting at risk everybody in the company. So a company, big or small, a corporation, is a living organism. And it's very important today in business for each and every individual to have the spirit of entrepreneurship, of change, of new ideas, of revitalization, of a team. That we're here together to win, because if the company starts to suffer, everybody suffers. And that's why I speak to people that every day in the business world today, whether you're working a big company or you're trading on the floor or you're trading stocks, play to win. There's a spirit out there. It is a no-lose world, but it does require to be a no-lose world that you have the highest ethics, morals, and integrity. The ability to tell the truth with compassion to somebody, say, I really don't think you're doing your job today. I don't like it that you come to work drunk. It damages all of us. And if until, I think what this internet is calling on all of us today is to call on our spirit and the spirit of winning. And it's not that somebody has to lose, because as I said, Rich Dad's greatest secret is the world is set up for every one of us to win and not to lose. In my corporations, people get paid, they get a paycheck. But what I'm also doing is supplementing their education mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to start thinking like business owners. Many times the employee has security. I need the paycheck now. I need to put food on the table, roof on the head. But to think like a business owner, sometimes is the emotion is patience, delayed gratification. And I talk to people in my businesses and my companies about we're building a company together, that when I either sell it, take it public, that they'll all win. Some people buy into it, and some people don't. So the thing I'm saying is today, I don't pay very well. You know, if I'm going to do my job and I want to get paid for it now, that's very employee or self-employed mentality, E&S mentality. Immediate paycheck. And that's the mindset that employees and self-employed people have. To be a business owner or an investor, there is a patience to it. There is a building process. That's why a lot of times people say in investing, think for the long term. And in business, I'm starting this company, I'm going to build it up. And you know, I jokingly say I used to have two employees, now I'm down to one in one of my companies. And the reason was I talked to both the employees. I said, you're in this position now. We're all chief cook and bottle washer as we build the business. But in a year, each of you will move up into a high managerial position. Each of you will have stock options and all this. One of them quit simply because she wanted a pay raise now. She says, I don't like what I'm doing. I'm much too educated for this, and I want a pay raise now, and I want a title like vice president or manager of so-and-so. And what she couldn't see was the B quadrant attitude of entrepreneurship, the spirit of building a business, delaying and growing. The other person did. That other person now has huge stock options, and within 2 or 3 years will be a multimillionaire. So the difference here is this: most employees and self-employed people need the paycheck now, or called Rich Dad's rule number one is the rich don't work for money. The E and the S oftentimes must have money now. They work for money. The B and the I acquire assets, assets that increase, that grow, that if you nurture them, they become more and more valuable with time. So that's sort of my attitude, and that's the attitude I have in all the companies, including my mining companies, my oil companies. The people that have to have a salary take very small salaries. But what we're doing is we're building a company for huge stock options when we take that baby public. And that's what we do. So if you're a business owner, I would suggest, if it's appropriate, that you begin to talk to your employees and your specialists, like your accountants and your attorneys, about the spirit of the B quadrant, the business, the entrepreneur's quadrant, and the investor quadrant, because that's how you build and you grow. But to do that, your team must trust you, and they must know that you're willing to share when you win. So Rich Dad's greatest secret was that it's impossible to lose, except if you believe in losing and you hang on to these excuses, which I've sort of gone over earlier. And these are the excuses of a loser, somebody who believes in a universe where there's winners and losers. And some of these are, I can't do that. I can't wait 5 years before I get another paycheck. Invest. You want me to lose all my money, don't you? I don't have any money to invest. I need more information before I can do anything. I tried that before. It'll never work. I don't need to know how to read financial statements. I can get by. I don't have to worry. I'm still young. I'm not smart enough. I would do it if I could find the right people to do it with me. My husband would never go for that. My wife would never understand. I would if I was younger. Oh, it's just too late for me. Oh, it's not worth it. I'm not worth it. And that's the only reason people lose, is because they come from a spirit that doesn't have the spirit of winning, has the emotion and the mindset of a loser. Now, if you're considering making the change to the B quadrant, the business owner, or the I quadrant, the investor quadrant, I would suggest taking baby steps. Oftentimes, people make a huge change, and it's like, you know, if you're fat and hoggy and you're watching TV all your life and suddenly say, well, I'm going to run a 4-hour marathon, it just doesn't work. And that's what really wipes people out, is that they try and do too much too soon, too quickly. And for me, coming from a family that was very oriented to the employee, the job security, or the specialist, because my mother wanted me to be a doctor mentality, to make the transition from the E&S side to the business owner and investor side was really a slow transition.